I'll be talking on wheat cultivar selection and how it affects double crop and really intercrop soybean. Affects double crop and relay intercrop soybean response on our clay pan soils. We try to keep wheat in our rotation because we're on a lot of highly erodible lands. Wheat is generally, we maintain profitability by raising double crop soybeans. There was a lot of work done in the 80s on relay intercropping into wheat with soybeans, but there's been a lot of technology development since that point in time. A lot of the challenges came with plant establishment, interference between the wheat and the soybean crop, and the other thing that we run into with double cropping is the risk of an early frost taking out our soybean crop as well. So by relay intercropping, we can plant soybeans earlier, avoid the risk of an early fall frost, and possibly qualify for federal crop insurance with that type of system as well. There has been a lot of technology that has been developed since then, guidance systems. We can meter wheat through current planters and then go back with the same planter and plant soybeans into that wheat crop as well. There's been seed coat technology that has been developed, as you can see on the left. The coated soybeans have delayed germination to the ones on the right, generally about 10 to 14 days. That can buy us time by getting into wheat earlier and then less interference between the wheat and the soybeans late in the season. Down on the bottom, you see the non-coated beans. On the top, the coated beans. Again, about 1 to 2 vegetative development stages behind the non-coated beans. Again, beneficial when it comes to interference. The other technology that has been developed is clearfield wheat as well. So that means we can apply Amazimox or Beyond, Raptor, whatever you want to call it, to the wheat and also provide residual or weed control in the soybean crop as well. So that's, there's been a plethora of technological developments since that previous work was developed. We've done a lot of work on soybean varieties. We've also done work on utilizing glyphosate as a harvest aid in wheat, but today's talk will be focused on wheat cultivars. So for objectives, we'll be evaluating the effect of wheat row spacing and cultivar on wheat and double crop soybean response, primarily addressing the opportunity cost. If a farmer is unable to plant his intercrop soybeans into the wheat, what is the risk when it comes to economics? Our second objective is to evaluate the effect of the wheat cultivar and relay intercrop system on our wheat and soybean response, and then finally look at the cost effectiveness of our relay intercrop and double crop systems compared to monocrop soybeans. All the work was conducted from 2003 to 2005. We're located at the University of Missouri Greeley Research Center. We're located on the 40th latitude. All of our research was, our wheat was no-till drill seeded at about 120 pounds to the acre in 7.5 and 15 inch rows from mid-October to early November. Our relay intercrop beans are planted from April 23rd to the 28th. This seems to be the sweet spot period to plant them. And then our double crop beans range from June 26th to July 7th. Depending upon when we get the wheat crop out. We evaluate a lot of stuff. I'll just focus on wheat yields to keep it simple for this talk. This picture is just an overview picture of the wheat about 10 days after planting, limited damage to the wheat, which is beneficial. We won't see coated beans emerge for probably another 10 days or so. Let's look at our first objective. It was a factorial arrangement of our wheat row spacing and cultivar. We utilized a Pioneer 25R37, which was selected as a high-yielding cultivar. We used a Clearfield AgriPro 502 variety, as well as Ernie, which is a typical public variety that's utilized in the region as well. Generally, if you're going to buy a VNS wheat, that's what you're going to get in the region, okay? Followed by non-coated Huebner 431 soybeans. We evaluated light interception in the Pioneer and Ernie cultivars, and I'll be presenting main effects. Over along the vertical axis, we're looking at light interception. We're looking at the main effect of row spacing and cultivar along the horizontal axis. Okay. Here's our narrow wheat in 19 centimeter rows compared to, or 7.5 inch rows compared to the 15 inch row wheat. Obviously, we're intercepting more light with narrow row spacing. And when we compare our Pioneer 25R37 to the Ernie, we're intercepting more light with that higher yielding cultivar as well. So let's look at yields. Yields are similar to our light interception as well. A narrow row spacing, higher yielding compared to the wide rows. And then we have Pioneer 25R37 yielding significantly greater than the Ernie and the AgriPro respectively. Okay. So we have a high yielding cultivar, a common cultivar, I'll call it low yielding cultivar as well. Okay. So that's kind of our opportunity cost of growing wheat in 15 inch rows compared to 7.5 inch rows. The big question was, well, does that impact double crop bean yields if I don't get my wheat or my soybeans intercropped in that wheat at that point in time? Basically, when we look at wheat row spacing along the horizontal axis, whether it's the wide row or the narrow row wheat or different cultivars, we saw no difference in soybean yields following those different configurations. Okay. So we look at our second objective was to evaluate our wheat cultivar selection in a relay intercrop system on our wheat and soybean response. We had a factorial arrangement of wheat cultivar and our relay intercrop soybean cultivars, which included the Huebner 431, both coated and non-coated soybeans, and a standard DeKalb 3852 soybean cultivar as well. We're looking at yield response from our relay intercrop systems. Along the vertical axis, you're looking at yield. Along the horizontal axis, you're looking at wheat yields in 03, 04, and 05. And then this is our relay intercrop soybean yield combined over cultivars. Okay. So basically, we're seeing that the Pioneer 25R37 is yielding greater than the Ernie in those relay intercrop production systems. In two of the 3 years, basically we had a little more scab in 2004, which probably brought it down in that year in particular. But in general, where we had a high-yielding wheat variety, we had lower-yielding soybean yields, okay? A little more interference probably taking place. Going back to the increased light interception, a lot of things probably contributing to that. But anyway, that's why we're seeing significantly higher yields, soybean yields, with that Ernie cultivar when compared to the 25R37. Well, let's look at our bean varieties in a little more detail, the main effects on those. We're looking at the coated soybean here in the middle, represented by our pink bar, that H431. IntelliCoated compared to the non-coated, we're seeing a significant increase when it's relay intercrop, which we would expect. We just didn't know to what extent of an increase it would have, followed by the 3852, which was just, like I said, a standard cultivar that we were evaluating. So finally, let's put it all together and look at the cost effectiveness of these systems of the relay intercrop beans and the double crop beans compared to our monocrop soybeans. We included monocrop soybean cultivars, the 431 coated and non-coated, and the 3852 in the design of all of our previously described factorial treatments and evaluated the cost effectiveness of those systems. We calculated gross margins based on the product of the yield and average receipts for wheat at that would be about $575 per bushel, and then soybeans were about $8 to $9 per bushel. And that'd be based on a 3-year average minus our crop input costs to get that value. When we look at the gross margins, you have gross margins along the vertical axis. We have cropping system along the horizontal axis. First, we're looking at our monocrop system. Okay, the yellow bar represents the non-coated 431 soybean, okay, followed by the coated 431 bean, followed by the decal 3852. So we move to our next set. We have our double crop system. Okay. This represents our Pioneer 25R37 high-yielding cultivar with double-cropped with 431 non-coated beans, followed by the Ernie and the Clearfield cultivar. Okay, obviously a high-yielding wheat variety had higher gross margins than these lower ones. Okay, and then we're looking at the relay intercrops production systems utilizing 25R37 and then Ernie again. First bar represents the non-coated beans, next bar represents the coated beans, and the decal 3852. So in a nutshell, we're looking at the relay intercropped soybeans, coated 431s planted into the Pioneer 25R37, having gross margins similar to the double crop beans, double cropping after 25R37. And planting the non-coated beans and having a similar gross margins to a monocropped non-coated bean by itself. Okay, so in summary, we can maintain a wheat in this rotation and keep it as cost effective as a monocrop soybean system by utilizing some of this technology. In conclusion, our narrow wheat did increase our grain yield 460 kilograms per hectare, light interception leaf area index when compared to wide rows, while our wheat row spacing did not affect our double crop soybean yield. A high yielding wheat variety or cultivar with greater light interception leaf area index had lower soybean yields in a relay intercrop system than our low yielding cultivar. However, our gross margins were greater with this high-yielding wheat cultivar when compared to the low-yielding wheat cultivar when we're relay intercropping it with the IntelliCoated soybeans. Finally, our gross margins were similar for monocropped non-coated 431 soybeans or the IntelliCoated beans. Our 25R37 in 19 or 38 centimeter rows, double-cropped with the non-coated beans, and our 25R37 in wide rows that were relay intercropped with the IntelliCoated beans all had similar gross margins. So again, we have options when it comes to maintaining wheat in that crop rotation and keeping it profitable by utilizing either double crops when we don't have a early frost or by utilizing this relay intercrop production system. So in summary, in an attempt to reduce our risk associated with an early frost or early fall frost and dry conditions at the time of planting double crop beans, our relay intercrop system using coated beans was as cost effective as our monocrops and double crop soybeans, even in the absence of an early frost in the 3 years of this work. Farmers considering a relay intercrop soybean production in order to keep wheat in their rotation should utilize a high-yielding wheat cultivar and coated beans to maximize gross margins. With that, I don't think you have time for questions. So
30 seconds.
Is there one question? Quick question. If not, thanks a lot. Yeah.